From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
It's Steven Ranger Proud, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud. Fresh off the bye week episode, we got Traverse City Tournament out there in Michigan. Going to look into the Metro Division with our Rangers and everybody else in the competition. BleedBlueShow.com is our website, audio archive episodes, iTunes, Podcast Republic, tuning to Stitcher apps, and of course, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify for the millennials. Ranger Proud, writer for Elite Sports New York, R. Pizzle, man. It's good to be back right after Labor Day. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing really good, Steve. How's everything going for you?
It's good, man. It's good. Real quick before we get into the hockey, right before this episode, I saw your boy Pete Alonso go yard, man, watching the match.
He had a bomb out there in left field. That was his 44th of the year. He's having some season. He's a reason why the fans keep watching, even though they came off a pretty nasty slump last week. But he's the real deal. He's been playing really well.
Right on. I was, keeping tabs. Our game was over with the Yankees, and I flipped it over to the Met game versus the Nationals, and I saw Alonso go yard like two at bats later. So, okay. So they look like they're probably going to win comfortably with a 6-run lead. RP, let's talk our Rangers. We got a lot to discuss, man, because we're right around the corner from regular season action, pretty much a month from now, actually. And preseason hockey, as you already know, 2 weeks away. Matter of fact, you have all the dates as far as the important dates when it comes to the hockey this month. 2 weeks from now, or not even 2 weeks, maybe about close to 2 weeks, we have the preseason starting up. But this weekend, starting on Friday in Michigan out there in Traverse City, man, Prospects Tournament. Tell us a little bit more about what you're looking forward into that. We can talk about anything else with the squad. We can look into the division later, within the division later. So what's your thoughts?
No, I mean, finally get to see these guys, step on the ice. We've been talking about them for so many months, and now we're going to actually see our prospects go and compete in the Traverse City Prospect Tournament down in Michigan. There's 7 other teams in there. It's a 3-game round robin. And, September's here, and when September rolls around, hockey's coming around. They have a nice lineup. Shesterkin's playing, Kako's playing, Chris Kraftsov, a lot of the top guys, Adam Fox. So it's going to be finally exciting instead of hearing about all these guys and thinking about what it looks like on the ice to actually see them go and play some hockey. So I'm looking forward to it. I believe MSG or New York Rangers Twitter, someone's going to be live streaming the game. No audio.
Oh,
it's just going to be them, watching the game. But they did that last year, and I was told they're doing it this year, but as of today, I haven't seen anything official yet, but that's the word around is we should be able to catch some of those games, and I'm sure the Rangers Twitter feed will be sending updates as the games go on. So, an exciting time for the Rangers. Get to see the guys put on the jersey and step out onto the ice. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. Our fans are really looking forward to it. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of pressure on these guys. So, hopefully, going through this tournament and just start to learn the system, get an idea of what the coaching staff, through the coaches on the bench, are looking for and what they can bring to the ice. But it's definitely an exciting time to be a Ranger fan now.
Absolutely. But this is what gets me, though, because you brought up the point, my question, as far as how people could watch it. And you would think, anything with the sport, try to get it publicized. They've been doing this for several years. I'm actually surprised. That was my first question, is how do people get to watch it besides the stream? I mean, I can understand the stream aspect because it's 2019. It's more cheaper than going through the television if they want to get the subscribers and the advertisers and all that. That's a little bit more because of it's not a regular season game per se. But I'm surprised that, even with a stream option, it should be at least – available more where they could put some audio around it. I mean, at least let you do play-by-play at least. Give us, let you feed off the stream and put it through the Ranger Proud page
more.
Or something. Do a watch party or something through Facebook or something, Twitter.
You would think, right. I agree. I don't know you know, up into the last couple of years, no one really paid attention to these tournaments. It was more for the organizations to get these kids all on the ice together again. The Rangers did have the prospects camp right after the draft.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why they don't get more involved in these kind
why
of
not?
Tournaments. Maybe there isn't as much. I don't know if it's because of the time. No, a lot of the games are in the afternoon. I don't know if it's because of the time of day. I don't know what other teams do. I know this is what the Rangers are streaming. I know all the teams are streaming, but I don't know if it gets
right
to the level of play-by-play or announcers. But you're right. They should get a little bit more involved, especially this season. I would have thought they would have been jumping on it just
yeah
a little bit more. You know, just
uh-huh
let's see what's going on kind of deal. But obviously it's not. They haven't really even come down with how it's going to be viewed. I haven't seen, you know, is it going to be on MSG Network, MSG Go? They have yet to really come out with it. I've been looking and looking and haven't seen anything. So I guess we're just going to wait and see who does what. I mean, if another team that the Rangers are playing were giving a better video, I'll put that up on Ranger Proud. I know they're playing, I think they start out with Columbus and they play Minnesota. I forgot what the
right
exact schedule is.
Oh, Dallas.
So we'll just have to, yeah,
Dallas.
I mean, I'm sure it's going to
yeah
be something to that extent, but why they don't do more detailed coverage and all, especially something with this season, it's a good as guess as any.
Yeah, I'm shocked about that. And you made a good point, man. MSG Go, this be right up their alley as far as streaming right through our phones and devices, the MSG Go app to watch Ranger games. I mean, I should have to go as a Ranger fan to the Red Wings website or the Dallas Stars website
right
to get a better feed. You know, and it's kind of crazy because we talked about this before as far as getting the sport out there a little bit more. I mean, I think other sports do a good job around the off season and between the regular season and in between regular seasons. Like when we talk about the NBA, how they got the summer league, at least they got that broadcast
right
because of the popularity of it more. The NHL could be right up the same alley. I mean, they had the prospects stuff going on earlier this year in Buffalo. They had, and now Traverse City is something that's been doing it for a while now. I'm actually kind of shocked that, you know, it hasn't really turned the corner on that. And a lot of people, especially on Friday around 3:30, usually probably will leave work early or probably get out of work or whatever. But would Ranger fans or hockey fans would probably, like, would be interested to watch them how they do against the Columbus Blue Jackets, the young guys. You know, I wish they would have actually did a little bit something about that. But, hey, it is what it is.
I agree. I couldn't tell you. I just know that one way or another, we're going to see highlights either, you know, via Twitter account from Rangers or some sort of streaming, whatever. But it's exciting just to see these guys on the ice. I mean, we actually get to see Kapo and Kravtsov play now. But you're
right,
you're going to see some of the names, you know. Igor Rakov is on the team. Shesterkin's on the team. Adam Fox, as I said before. Nico Gross is going to be playing.
Mm-hmm.
It's an impressive prospect lineup of future Rangers and some current, well, what we hope to be, some current New York Rangers all together in one time. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. It's going to be an interesting tournament. You know, this year, Steve, with all the excitement of the off season, it's great to see finally not just names, but see the players themselves on the ice doing their thing. So I'm looking forward to getting as much info as I can on it and getting, you know, trying to get some sort of view on it, to see what these guys can do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, going back years, over a decade, we see these Rangers heading into the preseason. Just recently, Pionk was up in this, and then Brad Howden after the trade with the Lightning, and, of course, Anderson and Hedl, Pionk. I mean, these are guys we are familiar with. And then, like you said, Adam Fox, Kapko, and Kravtsov, we're going to get to see them. And then other Rangers who are probably we get to see as far as future guys like Henriksen, Carl Henriksen, that's going to be getting on the ice. So without the audio, it's not the biggest of deals, but as far as we get the visuals, we get to actually see, actually get to discuss actual real hockey, man. Whether
mm-hmm
they win or lose is not the point. The point is just to see how they play, see how they match, and see what strengths and weaknesses they do have going against these current crops versus the Blue Jackets, the Dallas Stars, and you know, the Wild, all the other teams as well. Because they got a bunch of games back-to-back-to-back, like Saturday, Sunday, I think Monday, and then got the whatever place they are on Tuesday or Wednesday, something like that. So So by the time we come around next week, you know, not next Wednesday, next Tuesday, we'll have some actually thoughts to really going off pretty much three games that they would have played. And I know you're excited to discuss as far as Adam Fox. We've talked about that many a times. Is me personally, I haven't seen a lot of lick of highlights or a lick of game take to really have form a real opinion. Not to say this really would do that, but it's something that's better than nothing. We get to see actually Kako get acclimated, and of course, you know, you mentioned Nico Gross and Matt Robertson and Hunter Skinner, guys like that who are on the outside looking in, but future Rangers or future prospects. So it should be a fun time, like you said, man, no doubt.
Oh, absolutely. It's about time. You know, it's time to get on the ice. That's the great part. You know, August is a long, boring month, and when September comes around, they kind of jump right out. Like I said, you know, a week from Thursday, camp's going to open. 6 days later is the first preseason game. So hockey's back, and we're going to finally get to see a lot of what we're hoping is some exciting hockey, not just from preseason, but for the entire upcoming season.
Yeah, definitely. Now, RP, within the team itself, who is going to wear the C, man? Have they made a decision? What's your thoughts on? Has it changed for Mika Zibanejad, or are you sticking to your guns?
I'm sure there's a chance for Zibanejad. A lot of people are saying Kreider. No decision has been made yet. I would think the only thing that's keeping Kreider from even a legitimate shot at getting it is just the uncertainty of will he be here come February. You know, there's the entire contract situation going back to Brendan Lemieux and D'Angelo has been really, really hush-hush, so haven't heard anything about that. I know a lot of other sites are reporting and writing about who should be the next captain, and it's the same two guys that I mentioned, Zibanejad, Kreider. I've been saying since last year, I think this is definitely the opportunity for Zibanejad to lead the team. He's doing it on the ice and off the ice now. I would think they would go with a captain this year and go back to the old format of one captain and two alternates. I don't know. I think the team needs it. I think, you know, it's an original six team. Captains are part of hockey, and the Rangers have been lacking it since the McDonough trade. So whoever it is, I like to see them announce it. I don't know if they're going to do it as dramatically as on opening night at home in the first game of the season or prior to that, but I do anticipate them naming a captain sometime within the next month.
Right. We'll see what happens when it comes to that because it's been long overdue. Of course, the transition with this team and regutting it and rebuilding it and kind of getting to where it is at this point. So they have a direction that they need to go in. And I know a lot of Ranger fans on social media, especially Twitter, man, it's been pretty much a civil war about this. I mean, they really just don't want to let this go. I mean, I guess they need something to discuss. You know, they need something to hang their hat on as far as getting through the long month of August, as you already know, until we actually see some hockey. I mean, they need to discuss something, and there's like literally civil wars on social media on captainship with the blue shirts. And I'm kind of surprised. I mean, I understand the one angle as far as don't be in a rush not to do it, but I mean, at this point, it's kind of long overdue, man. You know?
I don't think it's a rush anymore. I think it's a necessity at this point. It is.
Right.
Yeah, it's definitely time. It's just, you know, some people say, well, do you really need a captain and alternates are good enough? But I don't know. I guess because maybe I'm old school and all, but there's always been a captain, and you look back at some of the famous ones on the Rangers, you know, Messier and Dave Maloney and even Brian Leetch were the CEO for a while, and it's just something, it's like the progression. And it also, it represents that you do have that leader. You know, you need someone to lead on the ice, in the locker room, on the bench. It's a big responsibility to put the steel on your chest, and you hope that whoever gets it doesn't sort of fall into some of the slumps of previous captains. But I really think that Zibanejad is definitely the guy that can carry the load and carry the team where they need to go. So I don't know, you know, if it's in the works or not. I would hope that it is. But right now, we're kind of in, as everything else seems to be lately, as more of a wait-and-see process if it's going to happen or not. But it's going to happen. I just can't see how it won't happen.
Was more wait-and-see as far as giving out the C's as far the C and the A's as far as captains and alternative captains on this team, or we're talking about Tony D'Angelo? What's going on with him?
We're talking about
what's
both.
More wait and see than this.
The priority is the D'Angelo and Brendan Lemieux situation. It kind of looks like, you know, just from not reading anything, is that the two players are kind of standing firm that they don't like the qualifying offer, and the organization's like, well, that's the offer that's there. And I'm only saying that because here we are September 3rd, and we've gone through the entire summer since the qualifying mm-hmm. offer's been made and all, and nothing's been done.
Not
holdouts in hockey are rare. They don't happen that often. This year, you might see it. You know, there's Mitch Marner in Toronto hasn't signed. Alex, you guys haven't signed. There's about 18 other guys that haven't taken that offer and signed yet. So I think I kept saying all along, once one goes, and one meaning the Toronto Maple Leafs star Mitch Marner, once he signed, then things would fall kind of in order. But that hasn't happened yet. And the Rangers salary cap situation hasn't gotten any better yet either. So I don't, you know, they have a little bit of leeway with their schedule that they can move guys up and down to keep with the cap if they wanted to offer them a little bit more money. But it's a tight fit for them to do all of this. And that's what a wait and see is going to be. What are the Rangers going to do? Mind you, the players can't even participate in training camp if they're not signed. So, you know, I'm hoping that we know something by the 12th. It might go a little bit further into it. It's not unprecedented. It's just not something that's happened over the past couple of seasons. And, I mean, between the two players, I would think the Rangers would, if they had to pick one over the other to sign first, not that they wouldn't sign both of them, you would think they would probably try to get Lemieux on contract now,
mm-hmm.
quicker, or right away, because they really need him in that lineup. Not that they don't need D'Angelo, but the Rangers are pretty stocked with defensemen. And they might be able to get by, depending on how Adam Fox does. You know, their defense is kind of tight, too, position-wise, player-wise, I should say. So it's a tight spot. I'm sure JD and Gutton are trying every day to work it out. And what you and I thought, Steve, that the Rangers could trade a Nemstikov or maybe even a Ryan Strom, though, that's not who I'm leaning towards. Nothing has happened.
No.
But nothing's happened around the league. That weren't really. I can't really recall any big trades that were made after July. A couple little minor deals, but nothing big to help any team's salary cap. So everybody's more or less in the same spot they were August 1st, now to September 3rd. So it's definitely not the wait and see we wanted, but I'd much rather have the Rangers work out their personnel decision first and then worry about a captain.
Absolutely. I mean, there's nothing I disagree with that. I'm 100% in agreement with that, all of what you said when it came to that. Lemieux, if there was a ranking, I would definitely want both, but definitely Lemieux first, get that out of the way. You're right. And all that other stuff is trivial when it comes to the captainship and all that. That could wait, but getting these guys in there and getting them in the camp is priority, as since it is right around the corner. You're right, RP. The sport has been pretty quiet. And it goes back to saying, like I said, pretty much throughout this episode, as far as the buzz. I mean, there's nothing going on, no transactions. And, I mean, you know, the little minor deals here and there. But where you had it, now you're headed into September. And like we said, hey, you know, there's a way to get the people to talk about the sport before early October. You have a full month. And, you know, things like the Traverse City Tournament is a way, you know, to get even casual people looking at, you know, baseball is the only thing going on right now. NFL is about to go around, and now you have the NHL, or it could be the NHL, going on, you know, to put their name in the hat as far as getting casual viewers to really get into the sport like that. But as far as, you know, D'Angelo and Lemieux, it's no different than when we discussed last time before the bye week. So, hey, hopefully those things get it worked out, the qualifying offers. I think those players – if as far as leverage, or I think the Rangers have, of course, the leverage, in my opinion.
Sure. Well, they definitely have a leverage.
So this is really more about that. Right.
No, it's exactly what you're saying. If they, it's kind of in the player's hand if they want that qualifying offer or not. If the Rangers mm-hmm. want to stand pat, they have every right to. So it's just a situation, you know, these guys are probably looking for a little bit longer term. we already discussed that doesn't work out in the Rangers' future because more than a 2-year deal, and D'Angelo would be an unrestricted free agent, and the team doesn't want to lose the power or the leverage that way. So there's a lot to it contract-wise, and neither side's really commented. I have read Brendan Lemieux's agent is his father, Claude Lemieux, and he had no comment. I can't remember if I read it, but I can't remember the name of D'Angelo's team, and they've had no comment. And, of course, the Rangers have had no comment other than they're working on trying to get the players signed and so they can come to camp, which is the standard, you know, status quo of what they're supposed to say. So it's going to be we're just going to have to see how it all plays out, and maybe it goes into camp. I can tell you D'Angelo can't afford to miss much camp because someone's going to take his spot. You know, if D'Angelo's not there, it just gives Adam Fox even more leverage. Because as much as we've talked about Fox and all the hype on it, he hasn't played in the NHL. He's coming out of Harvard. A good hockey player. He's a little smaller. Yeah, you know, he's going to have a little bit more of a battle. Not that he can't do it, but if D'Angelo's not there, it kind of gives him a little bit more playing time, a little bit more ice time to maybe steal a spot, which is a distinct possibility. The last thing D'Angelo wants to do is go back down to the minors because he had a holdout. So the Rangers might be thinking these guys are going to wait till the last minute and either Thursday or Friday or next week sign last minute and take their physical and jump on the ice, which is a distinct possibility. It might roll that way. So unless something unusual breaks, I'd really be surprised now if a trade happens. This is the quietest time for a trade going into camp. A lot of teams aren't going to be looking to make trades. They're going to wait and see if any players get cut or released on waivers or whatever coming out of training camp and pick someone up. So you don't see a lot of big trades made in September. And not that it won't happen, but I don't think the Rangers are leaning that way. The Rangers, with everything they did this summer, have a lot of leverage right now, and I think they're putting the heat on the two players.
Indeed. So we have, you know, the rest of this month, we have divisions to get through. We can start with our own division first. How do you look within our own division? Because next week we'll get into, you know, outside of the Rangers talk, we have the Traverse City Tournament games to discuss. We'll talk Atlanta Division next week, and then the next subsequent weeks after that, we'll talk the Western Conference divisions, Pacific and the Central. But the Metro, let's start with the Metro. Like, who got better? Who stayed stagnant? Who's where they are on paper? As far as how do you, if you have looked into it that way.
Well, if you're going to look at it that way, you have to say the Devils got better. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, they got the number one pick in Hughes, P.K. Subban, Wayne Simmons. I would think they definitely made a huge improvement. The Rangers got better, obviously. Not to beat a dead horse, but we've been talking about that. The Rangers are definitely an improved team. You know, I was going to say Carolina, but now they lost Williams, who decided to take a step back. He didn't retire, but he's taking time off.
Yeah.
No one really knows what that means. Kind of weird. I don't know if he's waiting to see what happens with the contract in a year and a half or what the players union decides with their opt-out part of their CBA deal, which has to be decided by mid-September. It was kind of surprising. It was, you know, Carolina's building up, and I know you've been a big proponent of the Hurricanes. They've improved. They're getting to that point when they're going to be really competitive, and then you lose your captain just because he doesn't want to play anymore. It's kind of a couple of steps backwards. It's a shot to the gut, really. So we'll have to see where they lie. I don't think the Penguins did much. I don't think the Islanders did much. Columbus definitely took a step back. They lost Bobrovsky and Panarin, two guys you're just not going to replace. The Capitals haven't done a lot, but still have a good squad. From an improvement side, you didn't see a lot done by them. But when you got Ovechkin and Backstrom and TJ Oshie still playing the way they're playing with Holpe's in net, every team needs to improve. So I would think they stayed the same. They're definitely going to be, you know, the top three team in the division without a doubt. So we're just going to have to see how that plays out. You know, Ovechkin is a little bit older, but even if he takes a little bit of a step backwards, who's going to notice the way he plays? The guy's just an incredible hockey player. The Penguins side is always Sidney Crosby. They did lose, what did they lose? Not Cohen. Ethan, who did they just lose, Steve?
Well, the Pittsburgh Penguins?
He went to, yeah, Kessel, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Phil Kessel's gone.
Oh, Phil
so,
Kessel. Yeah.
Phil Kessel. So on top of that, I can't recall on top of all the moves or what's happened with them, but they didn't have an explosive offseason. They got a little bit better. I don't think they got a little bit better with the Kessel trade, but it was a necessity because that just wasn't working out with them. So always a strong team, though, when you got Malkin and Crosby and Murray and Nett. They're still going to be a solid team, but I don't think they made a lot of improvements. Doesn't mean they're not still going to be up there because it's such a strong club to begin with.
I'm shocked. I'm sorry, RP. I mean, your baseball team had threw me off tonight. I can't believe I hope I didn't jinx them, man. But
did you jinx
wow.
them? Don't jinx the Mets. I'm trying to get. I'm
I
trying to
not.
Enjoy baseball in September for a little while. That's all. Yeah, they
I can't believe what I was seeing when talking with you tonight. Oh my goodness. Anyway, we'll move on. We'll move on. Wow.
So you know, from the division,
it,
what the Mets? Yeah, now they're 10
off
on Scherzer tonight. Yeah. And DeGrom, off the hockey side, DeGrom just he can pitch a bad inning and doesn't let it bother him. It's amazing. He had a tough go of it, and he knows how to let it go. You know, he doesn't take a bad inning to the next inning. He gets out without too much damage. And then the team just this year, the team scoring runs for him, which is something he's not used to. So they're playing some good baseball. They have a long way to go. But I tell you what, we're talking playoffs in September for the first time in 5 years. So just on that alone, you got to be enjoying the season if you're a Met fan.
Right. Now, as far as the hockey, getting back to the hockey, I was a shell shot what I watched in the bottom of the night. But anyway, unbelievable stuff. Everything you said is kind of exactly how I laid out as far as the division on who got better. Well, not even say who got better, just identifying the key pieces on each team. And I agree with you. I agree with you as far as the Blue Jackets. You know, a couple of years ago, I was big on them. I'm kind of more on the Hurricanes wagon the last year or so. But as far as the Blue Jackets, obviously, we got stronger. They got weaker by addition by subtraction with Panarin. I mean, that's just the obvious. So, you know, going with them, I mean, they still have a nice core team, and they have still a lot to ride their head on as far as what they did in the first round, knocking out the Lightning with Tortorella's team. You know, you can still go to war with Cam Atkinson. You can still go to war with Foligno and Weinberg and Borgson, but Borgstrand. But they don't have Panarin, and you can't. It's really hard to replace that. So you would think theoretically they got worse. Now, does that mean they've got worse as far as outside of the wild card worse? Yes, I think so, man. I mean, the sustained 82-game schedule, and this is I mean, the division old school-wise was always a competitive division because of the teams involved, you know, blue-collar Northeast. But like you said, the Devils got better. You know, well, I'll get to them in a second, and I'll go back to our Rangers in a few. I think the Blue Jackets, by far, on paper, theoretically, would have to be got worse. They, as far as improvement or non improvement,
mm-hmm.
they've taken a step back on paper. I believe. I really do believe. I agree with you. And I also looked at the same thing with what you said about the Hurricanes. But I thought the Hurricanes were kind of on their way to make maybe a step in the right direction, as far as building what they did in the playoffs. But like you said, with the partial or taking time off from Justin Williams, which is a key piece of all of this because he's a veteran and he's helped make that franchise go out there in Raleigh, North Carolina. I think that's a huge loss. That's a locker room thing. You that's a guy that a veteran you want on your team for a core that's really talented. But I think that's a blow to them too. I think they take a step back as well until we see what happens with Justin Williams. I'm with you as well as far as the Pittsburgh Penguins, man. I think they've gotten a little bit worse. They're getting a little bit older. We saw how they got destroyed in the playoffs by the Islanders. And, you know, losing guys like Phil Kessel, like you brought up, they're not the same. I mean, it's called time. It's pretty much time has caught up with the Pittsburgh Penguins. I mean, I think maybe I'm not saying they're on the verge of rebuild. They still have great players, all-time players on that team. But there's a lot of more missing pieces around those all-time players that makes them as vulnerable. They're not as – when you say the Pittsburgh Penguins, you get up for a game like, oh, we got to play them. They got – they're stacked. I don't view the Pittsburgh Penguins as this team we should really, really fear. You still want to beat them, but you don't fear them. You respect them, you don't fear them. And I think the class of the division, like you said, is the Capitals. Any team could always look for improvement. So their thing is kind of like, there's going to be at some point in the game, at some point in the season, they're going to turn it on. This is what they do. And I kind of expect that out of them. And they all their guys, is, for the most part, is still intact. But you're right as far as the Devils. Now, my question, because I was thinking about this before the episode with the Devils, how far did they upgrade? How far as far as are we talking wild card? Because, they were last. But they are talented. I mean, they added Simmons. You could throw him on the third line somewhere. You could add P.K. Subban as your top defenseman and put him on the power play unit with a lethal power play unit in theory with Hughes, Hall, Nisher. I mean, they're stacked. Palmieri. I mean, they got the guys. How far or how much did they leap?
Well, here's the question. It's a great question, and it sort of runs parallel with the Rangers. The Devils had 72 points last year. Columbus was the second wild card team with 98. So the question you have to ask is, are the Devils 26 points better this upcoming season? Give or take a couple of games. 26 points, that would give them 98, which is between 94 and 98 going to get the second wild card, all depending how some of the other teams do. So I'm just comparing it off of last season's wild card numbers. 26 points. That's that's 13 wins. Are they 13 wins better? I don't know. But I can say the same thing about
the
Rangers. But I'm not going to lie. I can say the same thing about the Rangers. With all the improvements they made, they had 78. They need 20 points. Are the Rangers 10 wins better? They might be. They might not. There's a lot that goes into it. I think they have a better chance than the Devils do, even though the Devils have improved. It's a lot of wins for New Jersey to increase from last season to this upcoming season. So I don't know if they're that much better. But now we do have to remember Columbus is definitely going to fall down a few notches. But Florida Panthers, even though we're talking out of division for a moment, there's so many other teams in front of them, that's what makes it hard. That's what makes it hard when you especially with the way the playoffs are laid out. So I don't know if I don't think the Devils are going to find all those wins to leapfrog 1, 2, 3, 4, almost 6 teams to get better to get into the playoffs. That's say they won't. But as we're analyzing it now, I would say they're much improved. They're going to be battling for it, but I don't know if they're going to make it into the wild card. Now we've seen teams in the past where we thought we're going to get killed. Run away with the whole thing. So that's why they play the game. But right now, I don't think the Devils are, and I think the Rangers are on the bubble of making it or not. It's a lot to ask for to jump from one season to another. Not everybody's going to be the St. Louis Blues that won the Cup this year and turned it around the last 4 months of the season. It so rarely happens. It's so competitive. You know, if you look at – forget the division for a minute. If you look at the conference – if you just look at the Eastern Conference, there's just so many good hockey teams. There are no runaway teams. Ottawa might be the one team that you can say, we're not really worried about Ottawa, but Ottawa can still stick it to you here and there. And then after that, the only other really poor team, Detroit, Buffalo got better. I don't know how much better. So it's really hard because in order for you to make a 26-point jump from last year this year, two or three teams who were decent wild card playoff teams this year all have to falter. So when you're looking at it now, I'd say the Devils aren't going to make the playoffs because the entire pressure of the world is on Jack Hughes right now. And as great as he is, there's a huge learning curve coming into this league. And everyone's eyes are going to be on him. and every top defenseman in the league is going to be gunning at him to throw him off his game. And he's going to be able to battle, don't get me wrong, but it's going to take a little bit of time for Jack Hughes to be that perennial all-star. I mean, this isn't Connor McDavid or Sidney Crosby coming into the league. He's good, but I don't think he's in that level yet. So I if I had to tell you now, I would think the Devils don't make the playoffs.
Do you? So you have the Devils behind the Rangers as far as within the division. I do too. I think they're right behind each other. It's neck and neck. I think they're going to be battling.
There was only one win difference between them last year. I mean, the Rangers had 32 wins and the Devils had 31 wins. You know, it's going to be we've been talking about along the Kako Hughes kind of battle all year long, but it's going to be hard for both of them to make it. But the way it works out, playoff-wise and all, it's just going to be a tough jump for them to get to that spot. It's just a lot of teams to leapfrog.
It really
you got to
is.
Hope. You know, but I can see some teams. You see, when you're looking at it now and you know what's going on, the Islanders really didn't improve at all. So are they good enough for another 48-win season?
I thought about that. That is my question.
The goaltending kind of leads you to think.
Islanders.
See, the problem with that is their goaltending. Is Barzal going to have a good year? You know, last year was, we can win without John Tavares. We can win without Tavares. But that kind of motivational thing is over with now. They're still bouncing around between two arenas where it's like nobody wants them in Brooklyn and they don't have enough games at Nassau. And though people say it shouldn't matter, it does. When you don't get that home ice energy, it matters a great deal. I mean, the Islanders were 24-13 last year at home between two stadiums, arenas, whatever you want to call them. So, and they were 24-14 on the road. Their road record is pretty good, but it's just I don't know if they're going to sustain a 48-win season again. And it's so tight, you know, in our division. Forget where Tampa Bay was at because they were just on another atmosphere, another planet than where they played last year. The Capitals had 104. The Islanders had 103. The Penguins had 100. Great seasons. I don't know if the Caps are going to repeat it again. They've been in that 45, 46 win for a couple of years now. Eventually, they're going to take a step back.
Okay. I agree with
the
that,
Penguins,
but I don't think this year would be it, though. I think they have another year in them.
No,
I thought
right.
about that.
So we're going to assume the Caps are going to be,
like I said earlier,
I believe the Caps are definitely a top three. I mean, it was 4 points between third and first. So saying that they're in the top three is legitimate. The Penguins have sustained. They haven't gotten worse. But with their team, they can still sustain a 100-point season. The Islanders, I don't know if they can do it again. And I'm not knocking it because I'm a Ranger fan. They didn't improve a lot. Their only big signing was re-signing Anders Lee, which is a great re-signing, but they didn't really improve. You know, if they would have picked up Panarin, it's another story. But they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina was a playoff team, and now we don't know where they're going to be. Williams is only one player, but they were on the upswing. So they're the bubble team, not knowing what's going on with them. I don't know how much that one player is going to make a break for the squad. It's kind of like you don't know. We know Columbus is going to drop. Philadelphia hasn't done anything. We don't think the Devils are going to improve
to
make it.
Let's hold on the Flyers because I actually got some thoughts and opinions on Philadelphia. But let me go back to the Islanders because that was my number one thing. Was that more flukish, what they did last year? Because everybody wrote them off because of what happened with Tavares going to the Maple Leafs. And we kind of, a lot of people underestimated maybe Barry Trotz doing a great job with a balance of four. Like they didn't have a squad where it was top heavy. It was balanced throughout. It was balanced. A lot of what made them go was probably a lot of their bottom six too. And now you got Anders Lee back on the contract. Now they added Broussard for what it's worth later this offseason recently. Adding a couple pieces here and there. Now, are they as strong as what they were last year? And then I'll get to the Flyers later, but I wanted your thoughts on as far as looking into the Islanders.
I don't think you know
what I'm saying.
I don't think it was luck. I think they were a very balanced team. I mean, they had four guys with over 50 points last season. You know, Barzal, Bailey, Brock Nelson, Anders Lee. all had 50 points or better last season. So there's no way we can say it was luck. They had what you said. They had balanced scoring all the way through. The question is, can they do that again? You know, you got to think Anthony Beverley is going to have a better season than last season. He had 18 goals and 28 points. Barzal had 18 goals and 44 points. I would think Barzal is going to get 22 goals this year. Bailey had a good season. Brock Nelson always seems to play good hockey. And honestly, now that he's settled and he wanted to play with the Islanders, he had 28 with 51 points. I definitely think they're going to compete. I just don't know if they're going to be in that top four or if they're going to be more closer to the wild card part. That you don't know because goaltending-wise, they're a different club. You know, Leonard's not on the team anymore. They're going to rely on Thomas Greasy. The Gibson's only played two games. So they really don't have a proven backup. And Greasy only played 40 games last year. Is he capable of playing 52 games? And if so, who's going to be taking the other games? So from in the net, they even had balanced in the net. You know, Atlanta had 25 wins. Greece had 23 wins. So that was great. But I don't think they'll be able to pull that off again. And that's where your problem is going to be. Their problem is going to be in goaltending. Because who are you going to get to find 25 wins to be a backup? And if you start Greece from 39 starts to what? Can he handle 48 or 50 starts? It's a tough question. And that question leads to what the Islanders would do. Because we all know it's going to start on the back end with the Islanders. So it's a tough thing. I mean, he's started 251 games in his career, and he's won 221. So he's a little under 500 for his career. Not that it's bad by any stretch of the imagination. But now you need to see, can he, obviously for now, he's going to be the leader, the number one goalie on that team. You know, he was with San Jose, he was with Pittsburgh. And when you look at his numbers, he played 49 games in 2016-17. But other than that, the most he's played in one season was 39, which was last year. So I don't know if he can even carry the load. Maybe he can, and he just hasn't had the opportunity to do that. But the Islanders' net is a big concern, as the Devils is too. I guess you could stay with the Rangers too, with the situation with Lundqvist and Gorgiev and Shesterkin. But at least they have what we hope to be a good backup plan. So I would think that the Islanders' whole success is going to be between the pipes.
Right on. Philadelphia, we talk about additions. Now, a guy we're familiar with AV being the head coach, sometimes that could steer the direction in the right way for what it's worth as far as the spark. We know about the overpaying of Kevin Hayes and how that, no matter how you look at it, how much they pay him or not, that's still an upgrade. On the ice, that's good. But as far as business-wise, we may not agree, but still an upgrade on the ice nonetheless. You probably could see him probably on the second line. Or maybe he probably could get to the top line as well, but, depending on Courtier. It doesn't matter. You still got Giroux, Voracek. I mean, they got a good top six. I know they're weak when it comes to defensemen. They're not really good as far as the bottom six of this team. Philadelphia, I think, improves, but I don't think they're – playoff team, but the point what I'm asking is, how effective can Philadelphia be a thorn to the Rangers, to the Devils, with these division games, the Islanders, of course, Pittsburgh, Washington? What about Philadelphia because of the addition to the head coach? They still have veterans that could definitely score. But what about the Flyers? What case can you make with the Philadelphia Flyers?
Well, the biggest problem with the Flyers is they had 8 different guys in net last season. And it always seems to be the same thing with Philadelphia. It always seems to be goaltending. And Carter Hart played well. He had 30 starts. He managed 16 wins. And Brian Elliott had 11 wins. And then after that, for whatever reason, everyone else they brought up, even when they traded for Cam Talbot, it just didn't work out with any of these guys. And for so many years, they've struggled in net, and it just seems that when the Flyers get scoring goals and start to get on a good run, they don't want to stop the other team from scoring goals, and it kind of bites them in the ass. and it's one of the reasons why they're constantly on the bottom and struggling. From just a divisional play, it's always tough when you play the Flyers. Range of Flyers, Devil Flyers, it's always that battle. But as an overall season for an 82 games, I just don't see how Kevin Hayes gets them that many more wins. And we're not knocking Kevin Hayes because he's not a Ranger anymore. He scored a lot of goals. He's had a great career. But in 400 games, he scored 92 goals. So he's not a power scorer. He's more of an assist guy. He's got 137 assists in those same 381 games. 229 points. It's a great career. But you can't tell me that Kevin Hayes is going to lead the Philadelphia Flyers. It's still going to be Giroux and Sean Cordier and Voracek. Those are your top guys with or without Kevin Hayes in the lineup. I mean, last year Kevin Hayes had 36 points. 36 points put them seventh in scoring on the team. So, right. So it's good, but he's in the middle of the pack. So my thinking is their top guys have to have great years. I mean, will Sean Cordier have 33 goals again? He had an incredible year, 76 points. It's a phenomenal year. Mm-hmm. Giroux had a lot of trouble with the start of the season. He still ended off with 85 points. Those are your leaders on the team. They need to keep going, and they need some more scoring. Because after Voracek, the next guy was Travis Konecny, and he only had 49 points. And when I say only, that's great. But look at the gap from the third top scorer on the team with 66, went all the way down to 49 points. There's a huge drop-off. The balance that the Islanders have is the exact opposite of what the Flyers have. And the Flyers don't have the goaltending, which is why they're constantly struggling. So I don't think they had enough of proven to make a difference. I still don't see them as a playoff club.
Right. I agree. But I'll say this. I think they can somewhat improve. You mentioned all the names as far as Giroux, Konecny, and Voracek, and then you add in Kevin Hayes. And then for what it's worth, Van Riemsdyk is still a good player in this league, and I think with him on the roster, I think that's a nice little team, top-heavy as far as that. But the rest of the team, like you said, with the goalie situation, the back-and-forth goalie situation, and even a defensive situation that's kind of utter, you know, that's going to be their downfall through an 82-game season. Yeah, you're going to have your wars with the teams within the division, the original teams. But when you're talking about the marathon of an 82-game schedule, I agree with you, man. I mean, it's going to be really hard to fight the course, and I don't see them – I don't think they're going to be bad like last year. I think they'll compete, actually. I think they will
They weren't
make things interesting. Pardon?
They weren't – they were a 500 club last year. They were 37-37-8. They had 82 points.
They'll be better.
But just imagine. If they had a better,
yeah,
if they had
like
better goaltending, they.
But,
let me tell you something.
Yeah.
If they had better goaltending, they probably get five more wins, which is 10 points, and that puts them to 92.
Right.
Only 6 points out of a playoff spot at that point. So there's a lot to it. A lot of it, like I said, their top players did their job. But, you know, defensively, they're just not a strong club. And I didn't see any improvement on the blue line with them. Like, that would really change your mind. It's just a personnel kind of thing. They were, they were a game over 500 at home. So if they could find three or four more wins at home, it's a competitive. They're not horrible, but I just don't see how they improved enough to make a playoff spot.
Yeah, not only that, I think
along with a lot of the teams,
a little bit better,
got better.
Made a little significant more improvements. That's the other side
absolutely.
Of the coin to what we were saying.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the one team that didn't is Ottawa. I mean, they're the ones that still seem to be in a real bad spot.
Mm-hmm. All right, now we could probably get into. Who finishes where? We could probably hold off on that during the preseason. But let's do this. Final thoughts from you, RP. Things you're looking forward to the tournament out there in Michigan. Anything else you'd like to say? Looks like you had a great time on with the family, man. Your final thoughts, RP. It's great to talk hockey with you. The Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud, Traverse City Tournament, the Metropolitan Division episode. Your thoughts, RP. Final thoughts.
You know, I'm ready for the season to start. Traverse City tournament's going to give everyone a little glimmer of what to expect this season. The big part's when training camp starts. They're going to be an explosive team. I think everyone's got to be a little patient. And preseason is preseason. Don't let the score or have a goaltenders play or anything like that. Let's just see what the guys on the ice put out there, what Coach Quinn's idea of four lines might be. I really don't think you're going to see any sort of a starting lineup to the fourth or fifth game. That I think at that point you might get a better idea of the four lines. The Rangers are going to have a lot of guys in camp because they normally invite the entire Traverse City tournament team to come for the first couple of days and skate and meet the club and kind of get a little taste of it. So that first preseason game, you might see a lot of guys that you don't recognize. And don't expect to see a lot of guys that you're really looking forward to see. I mean, Zibanejad, Kreider, Fest. I think Quinn's going to really ease these guys in and get some of these rookies as much ice time as he can. A lot of craft stuff, a lot of Fox, a lot of Adam Fox, you're going to see. Of course, you're going to see a lot of Kako. And who knows? He might keep Shesterkin and Gorgiev up for the entire preseason. One of them are going down. It's probably going to be Shesterkin just because Gorgiev is backed up already, and Shesterkin is still going to be learning the North American, as I like to say, style of hockey, which is a little faster, a little smaller rink, so there's going to be an adjustment for him. But, you know, there's a lot of promise, and there's a lot of expectations and enthusiasm. So I'm really looking forward to just seeing these guys get on the ice in the next 2 weeks.
Absolutely, man. Look forward to the games this weekend out there in Michigan. We'll be back next week, and we'll actually have some, you know, games to actually discuss with these prospects. And, of course, we'll get into the Atlantic Division next week, though, you know, with the Tampa Bays, your Floridas, your Boston Bruins, Canadians, those squads. You know, we'll get into that division next week and look into that. But we'll actually get some hockey, to really look at it and have some thoughts and discussions with. And on top of that, RP, right around the corner after that, the episode subsequent to that, actually some preseason hockey. God damn it, we're going to have some fun, man. We're going to have some fun, man.
Absolutely.
Looking forward to it.
All right, man. You know, you can hear Ranger Proud. You can hear myself, of course, on our website, bleedblueshirt.com. Of course, you can go to iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher Apps, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the whole nine, man. The Ring Podcast will Ranger Proud every Tuesday night and right through the regular season for the 2019-20 NHL season, especially for our blue shirts. Sangre azul, ladies and gentlemen. Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue.